You can listen to The Professional Left on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at our website, proleftpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for May 10th, 2019. It's not safe for work.
Recorded live from the Cornfield Resistance, where Rubio versus Rubio is ready to rumble. It's the Professional Left with Driftglass and Blue Gal. Forward to that cage match. The undercard of McConnell versus McConnell, I hear, is equally amazing. Yeah.
Well, people are looking back at Rubio 2012.
Yeah.
Not just the Never Trumpers, although the Republicans for Rule of Law put it out as a web ad.
Bless so their heart, you know.
Rubio 2012 saying that there's a rule of law thing and that separation of power should be respected and the attorney general should resign. Oh, wait, he's talking about Obama's attorney general.
The attorney general who's found in contempt should be resigned, really. It's
hard
to say that because you know, he's just sitting there looking very, very like he doesn't have that little tiny water bottle at his disposal. And he's very uncomfortable talking to people in front of his, you know, wood paneled basement with a big flag. But he has to say it. It's so important. It's so important. I had to take time out of my busy schedule to tell you people that an attorney general who does this and who's in contempt really should resign. That's just the way it should be. That's, you know, that's my deeply, deeply held principle until maybe 7 years from now when I decide to reverse everything I say I believe now. And that works because he's from Florida. Let's face it. They elected Marco Rubio. So, you know,
they elect a lot of people. They've elected Matt Gaetz of the House Judiciary Committee, where he sits and makes trouble. Actually, Jim Jordan does too. But Matt Gaetz is still in trouble.
He is.
For threatening Michael Cohen via Twitter, even though he deleted it, even though he apologized. Apparently, you know, all of the Democrats, no, they're not. The Florida Bar Association is not made up of Democrats. But they do have legal standards for witness tampering that they are upholding.
But good for them.
Yeah. And they have to look at, you know, issues of attempted blackmail on social media by members of the Florida Bar. And they're still doing that. So, at any rate, here we are. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. And to those of you who've lost your mom, as I have, and to people who are moms in other ways, we wish you a happy day, too. There are all kinds. I always say there are all kinds of moms out there. My kids have been raised by a village of good women out there, some of whom have biological children of their own and some of whom do not. So I'm always grateful for all of the help that women around my children have given me over the years. It does take a village. We want to welcome back a very popular sponsor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, their stock is soaring, really, truly soaring. This week, we welcome back our very popular sponsor, Centrism Silver. Are you over 40 and terrified of taking a position on literally anything? Do you hide under the sofa with your hands over your ears shouting, "Both sides do it!" Anytime anything happens anywhere? Well, Centrism Silver may be right for you. Warning, Centrism Silver may react violently with alcohol and other medications. If you're pregnant or care about children or healthcare, or the future generally, do not take Centrism Silver. Some patients taking Centrism Silver have performed certain activities while they were not fully awake. These have included sleep driving, making and eating food, calling friends and arguing about a grand bargain, and voting for third-party candidates. Patients often pretend not to remember these events after the election when they discover just how screwed they are. Stop taking Centrism Silver if you experience sharp or crushing existential anxiety, sudden shortness of temper, sudden pain in the ass, sudden severe remorse vomiting, changes in vision statements, chronic bowsiderisms, sudden unexplained purchases of books by Ben Sasse or David Brooks, severe or persistent eye rolling, or difficulty swallowing basic historic facts. Centrism Silver, because figuring things out is just too damn hard.
Thank you, Driftglass.
You're quite welcome. It's always a pleasure reading a long, long ad bit for my friends at Centrism Silver.
Who pay us nothing.
They don't pay us nothing. That's worth it.
I do think that after your third eye roll, you should stop taking Centrism Silver.
Well, the diagnosis for that is more centrism silver because.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. It's and eventually you end up having a midlife crisis and writing a book in which the entire subtext is my lab assistant or my research assistant made my life complete.
Yeah.
And how I learned that radical love is the solution to all
honestly,
problems.
Honestly, that book is that second mountain book is having read it in the bookstore without purchasing it. Divorce is not in the index. He is not allowed to talk about his divorce because he made sure his wife wouldn't talk about it by giving her a house. So they were talking about David Brooks, and we're not going to go off on this huge tangent, but it is a dishonest book. It is an utterly dishonest book. And he wants to make it about the second mountain is about finding love and values and wholeness and so forth. No, you cheated on your wife. She dumped you. You paid a lot of money and gave her a house. Your girlfriend that you cheated on, your wife with, moved away and you went and got her or you had an arrangement in a few years. You got back together and you married her. And now you're happy because you've got a young, hot wife and you've got all the money that you need. You've still got your job. You've still got access to all of the Davos and other bullshit platforms that you have. Sure. You know, you haven't lost anything. You haven't lost anything except you ditched the mother of your kids. Congratulations.
And I'm not saying that it's impossible for anyone to become Saint Augustine.
Or have a faith journey. Absolutely. Everyone can have a faith journey. Yes.
It's so goddamn weird to me that Michael Gerson, Iraq war pimp, Bush advisor, sort of the off-brand David Brooks, tweeting how Peter Wiener's column, you know, neoconservative, war pimp, off-brand David Brooks person, how Peter Wiener's rapturous review of David Brooks's book in The Atlantic was fucking awesome.
The
so it was one
goal of life.
but Michael Gerson is now all about, you know, radical love and just spiritual, and it's like they've run out of ways to keep their scam going.
Right.
They've run out of ways. They've run out of credible ways to say, you know, it's both sides do it. And first it was George Bush is a genius and that failed them completely. Then they resorted to, well, okay, George Bush was horribly wrong, but we're not even going to talk about George Bush anymore. We're going to talk about how the 1960s ruined America and how both sides are equally to blame for everything. And they have run that string all the way out. And the end of that string turned out was a noose. And that noose has Donald Trump's name on it.
Right.
Holy shit. Telling everyone that both sides are equally awful results in horrible people being nominated and elected by Republicans because who the fuck cares? Everyone's terrible.
Yep.
And having ruined this country, they go to the last refuge of despicable assholes, the church basement.
Right. Right.
But, well, now I'm on a faith journey. I just discovered the Beatitudes, and I just want to write about how I don't want to talk about politics at all anymore. Now that I've made my money, I've made my house, I've made my loot, I'm not going to give up my goddamn New York Times column or Washington Post column, or I'm not going to give up I'm not going to give up any of the goodies I got by fucking this nation over. But I do want to sit on a very high stool and pompously lecture people on matters of faith and conscience and love and spirituality about which I don't know anything, but maybe I know a little bit now, in which case you should all go talk to people who know a whole fuck of a lot more than I do.
Right. Right.
So it is taking your position, which you have absolutely no right to, which you were fucking handed by people at the top of the media universe for the worst possible reason.
Mm-hmm.
You're exploiting your position to rip people off a third time.
Exactly. Yep.
And it's just weird to watch.
And with a tiresome book, with tiresome books about white male spiritual growth.
I went back to my my post about that perfect neoconservative moment of Zen, which is these three guys circle jerking each other. And one of my commenters pulled out one of those quotes where I had just skimmed past it because I wasn't really looking for that subject. But right at the bottom, a Peter Wiener's column, because he's trying to pretend to be a gracious man and an uplifting man and say, let's all stop fighting and talk about David Brooks's absolute, you know, spiritual transcendence. And perhaps he's a saint. I don't know. Who knows what a mortal thing looks like in this world, but he's a huge and awesome and decent and wonderful man. We should all just be thanking ourselves that we live in the age of Brooks. Oh my God. But It's part of their thing. They can't stop being assholes. They can't fucking do it. So right near the bottom of Peter Wiener's article comes this line. Certain Orthodox Christians will be uneasy that Brooks voices doubts and is uncertain about the physical resurrection of Jesus. Certain people of the Jewish faith will be hurt because they believe he is leaving the Jewish fold. And because both sides do it, Blue Gal, certain progressives, particularly of the cynical and woke variety, won't like the fact that he finds Jesus a more compelling figure than Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Oh, come on.
Because it is physically impossible for Gerson or Brooks or Wiener or any of these assholes to stop being assholes.
To not twist the conservative knife on AOC. They can't let her go.
And falsely compare it.
And creepy.
It has to be, you know, certain people on the left and certain people on the right are always, well, who the fuck are you talking about? Who exactly are you talking? My brand is blaming both sides for everything. I have in every column, I have to pee a little bit of that into every column so that my stupid readers feel morally superior reading about how both sides are equally bad. So that's what he does. And it was just this lovely little moment of, while you are incapable of transcending your own assholery for two fucking minutes to write about how everyone else should transcend their assholery by reading David Brooks. Just like, just chef kiss. It was that perfect. And in that moment, everything I believed about them was confirmed. So that's a win for me.
So that was good. Hey, we need to talk about, you were on another podcast this week.
I was seeing other podcasts, Blue Gal. I'm sorry about that.
That's all right.
I spent an hour.
We're not going to get a divorce and have you give me a house. I don't want that. I want to stay with you forever.
You can have half this podcast. How's that? You can have my microphone and all of my David Brooks posts I leave to you. I spent an hour chatting with Mary Angela Perna. Uh-huh. She's the host of Lush Left. It should be dropping soon. Might even be dropping now. I don't know. I didn't check before we started talking. So I will post.
Go look for it. We will post a link to it on our Facebook page and also at our Twitter stream and our Twitter streams, plural, and get lots of links to it when we find it. But it's yet another extra hour, your bonus Mother's Day hour of Drift Class, basically doing Professional Left 101 from what I could hear.
Nothing I said there will shock the children.
Yeah. And she's good people. And she wants to have me on sometime. So we'll find time to do that.
She has all kinds of cool people on there.
I know we owe a couple other people some podcast appearances, and we're happy to do that. Get in touch, DM me or whatever, get email. Jeff Glass, one last thing. You went to a meeting this morning.
I did.
A local meeting, and wanted to encourage other people to go to local meetings, right?
I did, and I do, yeah. I try to participate as much as possible in the civic life of my community, as does my wife.
Yes.
So I'm going to one tomorrow that will be talking about workforce development and economic development in Springfield. And I'm hoping if they will see me in the back room waving my resume around going, hey, guess what? That's what I used to do for a living. I was really good at it. Maybe you want to, you know, find a place for me at the table. Yeah. But I don't go to them to drop my resume off. I go to them because they're important and they discuss matters of extremely local interest. But they also, if they're good, if they're like a good neighborhood association or business association, they will talk about things that are really important that actually matter to your community within the context of a larger social issue. Smart people go to these meetings and have a story to tell about why we need more money for cops, why we need more money for schools or roads. And so today, between a discussion there was tree branch pickup schedule.
That's a big deal. In Springfield, that's a big deal. Yes.
Everyone's like, really? It's changed. Oh, yeah. It's now every other week. Everyone's writing down the little pad. Oh, I say, okay. One of the local schools, the signage has changed. So you should look for that because our association helped pay for that.
Oh.
And the winter chili cook-off champion or third place winner was there. So we went, yay.
Yay.
But in between all of that, there was a very lively and informative discussion about the politics and economics of trying to get Springfield to commit to renewable energy, solar energy in a big way.
Wow.
And it was
incredible. Springfield is a community of less than 120,000 people.
Right.
And the budget of Springfield, Illinois, primarily comes from City Water, Light, and Power, which is an owned, wholly owned utility of the city. The city owns that utility.
I do, which is, I never knew that.
It's a coal plant, and it's several coal plants. And this week, the big news about the coal plants was we had an independent commission come in and look at how energy is produced in the city of Springfield. And they said, oh, no, no, no. These coal plants have got to go.
Like not.
Which is, yeah, like yesterday.
5,000, like really soon. You've got to start shuttering these.
You got to shut them down.
Like, especially the older ones.
Well, they're all bad. They're all bad. Yeah. It's coal is going away, and it's time to admit that. And the sooner you do it, the better. Communities and community organizations that are putting up solar are getting credits, and there's all kinds of negotiation now between City Water, Light and Power, and these organizations putting up solar panels, and that we want you to just put all of that energy on the grid, and then we'll sell it back to you. Yeah. It's like, no.
And the that was what the discussion was. There was this very technical discussion about where the energy goes, how it goes into your system, and where it goes after it leaves your...
And where it gets metered is very important, because if they meter it, then it's sold back to you, can be sold back at a different rate. Anyway, long, long story, and a lot of local news. But here's the deal. Going to these meetings in your community, you can really make a difference. Yes. And making a difference makes you feel better, because Donald Trump is not forever. No. And I've had friends to say to me this week, oh my God, how long is this going to go on? I can't handle another day of this.
Well, and at this meeting, there were two of the local 10 aldermen go to this meeting. Mm-hmm. Because if they're not there, people are going to talk about them behind their back. So, you know, there's a county board person, there's a treasurer, there's the local beat cop who I know very well. And two aldermen are there. And they are, this is their way of being directly responsive to the voters.
Because it's a community organization.
It's an active one.
And the two aldermen who cover the wards of this community association were there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because they know that the people who are looking at the sidewalks and deciding if the aldermen are doing their job or not, and are going to tell all of the neighbors, those are the people at that meeting. They want to be there.
For all of the shouting and finger pointing I do on Twitter and on podcasts like this one, on my blog for 14 years now, the most good I have done that I can tangibly measure is at this level.
Yeah.
It really is at this level. I'm not influencing the national agenda at all.
Well, I'm not so sure about that. You know, the former majority leader of the Senate, Harry Reid, he went full drift glass this week.
He did. I was impressed.
I was impressed, too. He said Trump did not create the Republican Congress. The Republican Congress created Trump. And he's absolutely right.
Boom. Well said, Harry Reid. By me, but go right ahead.
I mean, that is a drift glass statement, but from 14 years of we've been warning. You know, being a Cassandra is sort of your fate in life, drift glass.
I would like to reverse myself slightly.
Okay.
Pounding the both sides don't drum, along with many other liberal podcasters and
bloggers,
For years, who don't have a national profile, who just, you know, who've just been banging our heads against this wall for this long. It is now starting to feed back on itself.
Yeah, the water drip is making a dent in the rock, I think, is what's happening. Yeah. Absolutely.
I will acknowledge that's a good thing and something to feel proud of.
So I want to talk for a minute about where we are with Trump Russia and, you know, the stonewalling that's going on. Because statements have been made on YouTube and Twitter and other places that somehow Democrats are disappointed with the Mueller report. And I'm not disappointed at all. I wanted the facts to come out.
Right.
And the fact is that no one in the Trump administration or Republican Congress is saying the Mueller report is just a bunch of lies and it's not true. No one is saying that. And if you watch carefully, you'll see, not even carefully, if you just watch, if you just observe what opponents of the Mueller report are doing. Is saying investigate the investigators,
right?
And tossing up dust, you know. And now it's a power play. Barr says he's not going to release it. Trump says no one's going to respond to subpoenas, and so we're going to have a power fight. But it's a power fight. It's not a fight over the Mueller report. The Mueller report sits there and is true, and is a result of investigations that have found fact. So when that gets released, and it will, when that gets released, it will still be fact and it will still be true. And I do love how Elizabeth Warren, from her perch in the Senate, has made the statement of, you know, these three things came out of the Mueller report and are true. Russia interfered with the election. They did it to help the Trump campaign, which welcomed the help. And once this activity started to be investigated, Trump obstructed the investigation. Those three things are true. Mm-hmm. And the more we sort of get back to what is true rather than the power play, if you can focus on that, all of the power play that's going on is a distraction. Keep focusing on these three things. And one of the things that I find fascinating is that in places like Florida, they're asking for the FBI's help to secure their election machines and secure their election processes because they know they were hacked. And, you know, that's not, again, that's not a Democratic state that's doing that. So we'll get there. Focus on what is true and solid and real, and all this other nonsense about, oh, we're going to investigate FISA and we're going to investigate Hillary, of course.
Take it seriously, because
I
made note today on the social media platform that at this point, congressional Republicans are there to perform the same function as troops left behind by Hitler in Paris. Loot the place, and then if the war goes against them, burn it all to the ground. Right. They're there to wreck the institution to the point where you cannot enforce the law. You cannot hold people accountable, because we simply will not allow the levers of government and check and balance to run while we are still here.
And I'm not saying don't take that seriously, because it is not, but it is the crime that happened is established. It's the cover-up that we're dealing with. And the cover-up is another crime.
The cover-up is ongoing.
Yeah, and is ongoing. It's happening right in front of your face. Right. And then the other thing is the disappointment part of it, of, you know, liberals are disappointed with the Mueller report because it doesn't prove collusion, which is not a thing. Collusion is, and that's, they're very upfront about that at the beginning of the report. By the way, I'm reading the report on Audible,
which is narrated by Will Wheaton. Is that right?
No, it's not narrated by Will Wheaton. Yeah. It's narrated by some men who are reading it with very little inflection. Make sure you've got some knitting or a jigsaw puzzle to do while you're listening to it. But it is on Audible if you're an Audible member, and I don't have a coupon or a code or anything to get you a free membership or to benefit in any way. Mm-hmm. But if you are an Audible member or join, the Mueller report is free with your membership. So you don't have to pay extra or use a credit to get the Mueller report on audio. But they're very upfront in the beginning about collusion isn't in any legal code that you could charge somebody with collusion. You can charge them with conspiracy. And they are not charging Trump with conspiracy. And I think the reason they're not is Trump did not conspire to overthrow the government with Russia's help. Trump wanted to win an election. Russia wanted to help him, and he welcomed that help in a transactional way because he wants money. He wants loans for Jared. He wants business opportunities, and he wants to grift. That was what he wanted to do. And so all of that is not conspiracy to with Russia. You're not actually conspiring to steal the election.
You just have a mutual common interest that you're loudly shouting at each other out in public.
Out in public, yeah. Exactly. So that doesn't disappoint me. It's bad enough.
It's all very, very impeachable.
Yes.
It's all incredibly clear. If you just pick up the Nixon articles of impeachment and map them over the Mueller report, this is A, much, much worse than Watergate, and B, incredibly impeachable. This is something for which any president who didn't have his entire party behind him, and who his entire party had abandoned their entire mission, the Constitution itself, in order to suck up to an autocrat, would have impeached him. This would be unanimous minus Louis Gohmert vote of impeachment for any other president in history. And the problem is, as Harry Reid said, Donald Trump was created by the Republican Congress. He is there. He is the party. And so the party can no more vote to impeach or impede or in any way criticize Donald Trump than, you know, you can tear your own arm off with your arm. It's one organism and it can't turn on itself. The mistake you make is thinking that the Republican Party in the Senate or in the House is part of our government. It occupies a portion of our government because a lot of really racist, asshole, awful people put them in there. But they do not operate as part of our government. They are the enemy of our government. They have infiltrated our government to destroy our government. And the fact that they all wear suits and they all wear ties and they all have nice hair and they go on a TV show and they're interviewed by people gives the illusion that they are part of the government, but they're not. They are the existential threat to our country.
To our constitution and our democracy, yeah.
But they sit literally right next to the same people they're trying to destroy. And it is really hard for people who want to live in the middle, who want to live in the both sides universe, the centrism silver partaker. Because the horror of that, just the sheer stunning moral weight of having to acknowledge that Republicans in this country are traitors to this country. The horror of that and the pretty grim implications of what this country is going to have to do for the next 20 years just to scrape these people off the boot heel of democracy so we can move on with actually running our country are pretty grim. And it's much easier just to pretend, to hide your head, to stick your head in a bag and yell, both sides do it, whenever the Republicans take another step into autocracy. Jerry Nadler said this week, no, we're not waiting for a constitutional crisis. We're in one. We're in one right now. And the fact that Republicans are either completely down with Donald Trump or completely hiding out from politics at all tells you everything you want to know, because 5 years ago, those people knew every little tiny jot and tittle of every political scandal, quote unquote, that was invented by Fox News. The people who had Benghazi tattooed across their forehead and her emails tattooed across their ass are now not interested in talking about politics. Once again, we're back in 2007, where the people that put us in this place, who chose enthusiastically to drive the country off a fucking cliff, are now looking for some fucking way to take no responsibility for it. And it's our job to bar the doors while their party burns. Don't let them out. Don't let them on the lifeboat. Don't let them make excuses. Don't let them talk their way out of it at Thanksgiving or Christmas.
But Drift Glass, I'm an independent. I never liked the tweeting.
We're waiting for it.
Constitutional conservative never liked the tweeting.
And you know who agrees with me? And this is a callback to last week, I realized. Noted liberal blogger Joe Scarborough.
It is a callback to last week, but you did a post about it this week.
I did, which you can all go read. But it's like, you know, I was telling people back in 2003 that, and you know, just like in the Bush administration, all you people are going to suck up to him right until he's out of office and you can pretend you never knew him. Like, let's see, who's been saying that right along? Oh, yeah, the people you call the Cheetos Brigade.
Right.
Those libtard bloggers that you mock and sneer at and ignore and refuse to even acknowledge exist. You're doing what every other never Trumper did. You're ripping us off
and denying your past and rewriting your own history
and taking a baseball bat to every rearview mirror in sight so that we won't look back 5 minutes ago when you were the criminal. To whatever extent you have it within your power, don't let people in your life do that. Don't let them pretend they didn't vote for this. Don't let them skate this time, because if they skate this time, next time it'll be President Hannity. Swear to God.
So, Driftglass, I just wanted to remind you that Ken Starr said that the Mueller report was special counsel overkill.
Yeah, Ken Starr. I've heard of him.
Ken Starr, who, as Carolee pointed out, is the man who described a blowjob in intricate detail in his report.
Which was the end of the Republic as we knew it.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the...
Yeah,
no. Bill Clinton's penis was going to destroy America.
Destroy America. So, yeah.
And but I mean, ask any Republican you know. And look at this blank, cow dumb stare. Ken who?
Yeah.
Never heard of the man. Don't know. Bill Clinton? Yeah, something. Remember what? Frustrating, because it's all an inside joke among liberals.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're trying to reach out to people and say, well, what about this video of Mitch McConnell saying exactly the opposite of what he's saying now? They'll just look at you like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
What about Marco Rubio? I don't understand. It's important to have this conversation in terms of a tactic for getting rid of those people. What is the most efficient way to pry these assholes loose of power and move them out of the way so that we can get back to governing this country? Because there are a lot of problems that actually need to be addressed. And I'm just constantly frustrated with people who point at Republicans and look with alarm. Mm-hmm. Can you believe? Could you imagine if Barack Obama had blah? Yeah, I can imagine.
We've been living it. And trying to get their votes instead of expanding women and people of color and bring yeah. those people into the voter rolls
yeah.
is so frustrating to me.
Well, one bit of good news, it's not in our notes. I'm not sure if it's good news, but apparently Howard Schultz has stopped doing public appearances. Yeah.
He had back surgery. I'm sorry to hear that. No. You know, we don't wish physical pain on anybody. We just, you know, but yeah, he's had to take a lot of time off now from
his Locomotive Express presidential campaign,
pretending to run for president. I don't have anything else to say about the whole event horizon that we're living through right now, except focus on the facts, work locally, mm-hmm. find out who's running for office and need your help, you know, not just the presidential campaign, the local. If you have a Republican congressman, you've got work to do. Our Republican senator that's running for reelection.
We do.
Yes, we do. We have a Republican congressman who's got to go.
I do want to let people know that I have been a little down recently.
Yeah.
Because when I realized I have been basically just reposting things I've already written in 2006 and 2007.
Because of the Republican Party and their duplicity. Why bother rewriting it? No.
I'm in the middle of a paragraph going, wait a minute. I go to my archives. Oh, yeah, I wrote exactly the same thing in 2006. And I look at
yeah.
the comments section. This was pre-spam filter. There's 306 comments, 304 of which are, you know, dick pills and pet remedies and, you know, live girls live. And I just go, wow, no wonder I'm tired. This is
yeah.
just repeating the same warning over and over again. Eventually, I stop wondering about the salvageability of the people I'm talking about.
You know, I think that sometimes too, but one of the things that you've pointed out to me several times is every new election, there are new people voting.
That's true.
And I think those folks are already radicalized, a lot of them, to the point where they may be to the left of us in some ways, and that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Our kids give me hope. They really, really do. All three of them are so awake to what's going on in day-to-day life with how unfair things are and how we really need to fix race and economy and the ecology of the planet. And they're just so aware. And I know that that is in part who they are and how we've raised right. them, but it's also where they go to school.
That's true.
And the fact that they just have their eyes open. So I'm really looking forward to the world they create.
I am too.
Because they don't have any patience for this kind of bullshit.
No, they just don't. No. I bring this on myself. I mean, this is something I have volunteered to do. So no one is forcing me to be a blogger every day.
Right.
I work out a lot of things that I think through on paper. And then that's why this makes sense. And I sort of, they click into place and I write about them. But today I was writing something about Marco Rubio and Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
I'm just doing my thing. And I decided to go look for a graphic because I got a lot of graphics in my archives. And I found one and I looked at the post that it was attached to. And the post was from 2007,
mm-hmm.
which is starting to be a very long time ago. And
yeah,
I looked at it
is.
And I yeah. looked at my writing from 12 years ago. And may I read you just one little thing from it?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm smack in the middle. Why has the Fourth Estate, right before our eyes, become a bunch of cowardly fifth columnists? Why do conservatives get to stand on their desk with their hair on fire and shriek the most ludicrous, vile, mendacious hog whiz year after year after year after motherfucking year unchallenged? Why do these same howler monkeys, who've been not just wrong, but spectacularly, catastrophically wrong about everything every time, keep getting invited back in front of the cameras and onto the pages of major newspapers? And when they rise from their crypts yet again to spackle yet another layer of conservative lies on the wounded world, to send wave after wave of kids off to die for no good reason, or circle their wagons around another corporate monster, or piss another precious pint of what's left of our own nation's good name down the sewer, and tax cut and spend us further into debt, why do the same, quote, journalists who were ever eager to carve another slice out of Clinton's ass over trivia now piss themselves like puppies in a thunderstorm and hide under the bed as conservatives rape the truth 2 feet in front of them and then rub their noses in it? And that hasn't changed at all.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who are running these media corporations haven't changed at all. The people who are lying to us via these corporations haven't changed at all. There has been no consequences for any of this. And the way they've gotten away with it is by pretending it never happened. The Bush administration just disappeared. On January 20th, 2009, the Bush administration just went away. And on January 20th, 2019, the Obama administration just went away. And it is maddening to me that it's one thing to be hit by a vehicle that you don't see coming. It's another to see it coming 20 miles away and wave and jump up and down and sound the alarm and scream and warn people. And they just keep zombie walking right into the path of the oncoming train. And they get hit and wonder what the fuck happened. Yeah. And that to me is just at this particular day of this particular week, I'm sure I'll uptick next week, is exhausting because mm-hmm. I'm like, mm-hmm. you want to suicide. You want this country trashed. It is absolutely nuts that our media keeps giving people on the right any coverage at all other than, oh my God, the Republican Party has lost its goddamn mind. Mm-hmm. You must want this country ruined. You must want it fucked over. There's no other reason you would do this. And Republicans, of course, want it fucked over because they work for people who plan to loot the place for parts and then leave it dying by the side of the road.
But Driftglass, as tired as you are and as worn out as you are.
Just today, just this week.
Think about how worn out women of color are.
Oh, yeah. No,
how worn out people who are looking for reproductive rights are this week in particular.
I understand.
There is a conspiracy between several states. The Republican legislatures now know that the mm-hmm. Supreme Court is lined up to take rights away from women.
And yes, they are.
Five states now have passed mm-hmm. heartbeat bills of one kind or another this week, all mm-hmm. at once.
Yep.
To be first in line with Gorsuch to take away the rights of women.
Now, and I embrace my privilege. I fully understand. Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more. Yeah. My question back to you is, and when did it become clear that this was where the right was headed? Decades ago.
Oh, yeah.
Decades ago.
Now, you and I saw that coming, and you and I voted and were active, and you knocked on doors, and we did everything we could to stop it.
No, Republicans have been stacking courts for 30 years, for 40
years. Yes, exactly.
So the idea, and they were always talking about taking abortion rights away from women.
And when I was in college, longer than that, longer than 40 years.
There have always been people who've done much more, and I'm not including myself. I'm including Planned Parenthood. And I'm including Acorn. Yep. People have done way more than their share of heavy lifting in trying to get this country from turning itself into a third world tin pot dictatorship run like Gilead. Because that's what's coming. That's the future. So because there are people with enormous power and enormous authority and enormous wealth at their fingertips and have great machineries of great influence and who let this happen and who now are only interested in like getting Mark Halperin back on television. That's their big cause now. It's not women's reproductive rights. Mm-hmm. It's not voting rights. It's not the environment. It's getting mm-hmm. their friends back on the payroll. They apparently don't intend to live on this planet anymore.
Well, because they have access to capital. So if you're rich, you don't have to eat that shit sandwich.
Exactly.
You can fly to Sweden mm-hmm. anytime you want and get reproductive rights.
And if Joe Scarborough were right, and the Republican Party literally lost its mind 2 years ago, and nobody saw it coming, this would not be frustrating at all. But this was a long, long, long way in the coming. Years coming, decades coming down the road. And the road is littered with people. Bill Moyers being one of my heroes, who've been waving their arms going, don't you get where this is going? Why the fuck don't you see this? And yet you look at, you know, the people who run NBC and ABC and CBS and the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, live in a place where they believe this. None of this is going to happen. The cattle cars are never going to roll up to their doors. Mm-hmm. The internment camps are never going to come for their kids. And so they don't give a shit. And it's really time for us on the left to embrace one element of the Trump administration in exactly the opposite way that they do. The media is not on your side. The media does not give a shit about you. You are just a pair of eyeballs and a wallet. And they want you to watch what they sell you and buy what they tell you. And that has to change because the people who run the influence machines in this country don't care about this country. And yet when it's them, the only time they squeal about it, the only time they ask me to join them up on the ramparts the First Amendment ramparts is when Donald Trump specifically targets them. Then let's all rally around the First Amendment, boys. But if it's any other issue, it's like, well, you know, there are arguments on both sides. We don't want to take a position because people might think we're biased. And no, I see what you're doing. You're protecting your paycheck. You're protecting your pocketbook. So if you're not a friend of mine when it comes to voting rights or civil rights or reproductive rights, fuck you on the First Amendment.
Oh, really? Do you really feel that way? Because I don't feel that way.
No, I mean, I'm not going to stand between Donald Trump and Chris Cillizza when they come for Chris Cillizza. Okay. You know, that's all I'm saying. I'm saying if you want me to be your friend, if you want me to be the staunch defender of the First Amendment because you run a media corporation.
Well, and particularly Driftglass, I think what you're saying, too, is calling them out for claiming First Amendment, what they're really talking about is DC privilege.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly right.
And the two are not the same. And I've heard from people who actually go to hearings in Washington, D.C. and say it is such a waste of time to go to, panel situations where it's just it's a way to get out of the office. Sure. But they're handing out press releases that you could have emailed to you, you know, and reading them. And it's not, you know, oh, no, this is access. I need all this access to have access. And if I don't have access. And the fact is that the White House press corps should have walked out on Sarah Huckabee Sanders sometime around February of 2017.
Absolutely right.
They should have walked out and said, you are a fucking liar. You are using this as an opportunity to spread propaganda, and we're not playing your game. Instead, now we have the White House controlling, quote unquote, access and deciding that they're going to have acting White House correspondents that they can pick and choose who covers the White House. And the White House press corps is screaming First Amendment when everyone can see what Trump is doing. You know, this isn't a secret. Well, you don't need Sarah Sanders to lie to you about it in order to cover this White House.
No, and when you contrast that kind of petticoat grabbing on the First Amendment, and I'm shocked and appalled with, you know, Jeff Zucker saying, hey, Trump's great for ratings. Yeah, he's fucking over the democracy, but he's really good for our bottom line.
Right.
I'm sorry. I don't believe the reporter on the ground. I believe the guy who owns the guy who owns the guy who owns the guy who owns the reporter. Mm-hmm. And here's the other thing I have to give the Trump administration credit for. They understand the media.
They understand how to put on a TV show. Yes, they do.
They understand suckers and chumps and grifters and chiselers and criminals because they are.
Right.
So they understand. Yep. Oh, no. They look out the press corps. What they're watching are a bunch of grifters who are looking for a little juice.
Yep.
And are willing to trade access to their newspapers for a little bit of juice.
Right.
And that's, I see a bunch of minor league con men, minor league hucksters, and I understand these people. I understand them. I understand what they want. This is not Jimmy Stewart at the end of Mr. Smith Goes to Washington at all. This is Louie in Casablanca before we discover which side he's on.
Yes.
He's perfectly willing to go any way the wind blows, depending on who lines his pocket and who scares the hell out of him more.
Yeah.
And at the moment, the wind is blowing from Vichy. At the moment, the wind is blowing from the Reich. Yeah. And completely morally ambiguous, don't really give a shit about anything, careerist people who are perfectly happy to sell you out and me out for access and ratings. And it is that machinery that has to go. That machinery that has to be broken. It has to be pried apart and the pieces examined, because it's just going to happen again. If the way we hold people accountable who bring us the news is not changed, next time it's going to be President Hannity or President O'Reilly or President Ingram, because 36% of this country are brain dead mopes.
And they will vote for the next Fox News personality. Absolutely.
They absolutely will. They absolutely will. And the people who will do what Ron Fournier and Matthew Dow did in the last election, stand between a grossly, criminally incompetent con man racist and a qualified, competent public servant and say, you know, who knows, really? It's the system. It's both sides. We need disruption.
He's unappealing.
You know, sure, he's a criminal monster, but her emails are pretty bad, too. If those people are allowed to control our public narrative, we're going to end up with someone worse than Donald Trump.
Oh.
And I know it's hard to imagine, but believe
that's
me,
right.
In 2007, I couldn't imagine someone worse than George W. Bush. And here we are. Well, Trump says John Kerry should be prosecuted under the Logan Act.
See, that's where we were headed.
Yeah.
We were headed with, you know, you want to hear what's going on that's really, really stupid? Let's prosecute John Kerry.
Yeah. And we're having a contest over which of the Trump administration cabinet members will be impeached first. Is it going to be Bill Barr or Steve Mnuchin? Because they're both doing impeachable things right out in public. And I assume they're both doing it with Donald Trump's full approval and promise that don't worry, nothing bad's going to happen to you. I got your ass. I got it covered. And that Donald Trump lost $1.17 billion between 1995 and 1994. 1985 and 94.
Well, you know, Drift Class Facts and Friends says he's not like normal people. You know, what an accomplishment he had.
No,
such an accomplishment.
He's better than normal people. Trump claimed 2 years of his term were stolen as a result of Mueller's investigation, S-T-O-L-L-E-N.
Yeah, that German cake that we get every year from a podcast listener that's so good.
I said, no, Stalin is a delicious pastry, which listeners sometimes send us, and which presumably tastes exactly the opposite of the turd log of racism, treason, and corruption, which has been the Trump presidency so far.
There you go. There you go.
And I did want to mention that if we, you and I, Bluegill, had a nickel for every dollar Donald Trump lost during the 80s and 90s, we would have $50 million, which I'm sure we would blow on frivolous shit like funding liberal media and setting up a writer's colony and paying 1,000 donors to choose people and maybe
housing
paying our bills
at the homeless end. People in Springfield and elsewhere.
Yeah.
Each week we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's internet kitty is Tom, and Tom celebrated his 17th birthday this month. Tom was sent in by my aunt, my mother's sister. So we're very grateful to have Tom. Of course, Tom prefers freshly poured cat food. Whether you buy pet store perfection or dollar store dreck, your cat will sit on the kitchen floor and demand that the cat food they eat is only our fake sponsor, freshly poured cat food. Freshly poured, freshly poured. Oh, my Lord, it's freshly poured. And this month only, every freshly poured order will come with a week's supply of every kitty's favorite beverage, tub water. Tub water, tub water. It's water from our tub. And that's because the FDA requires us to call it tub water and not toilet water.
We've been told that we must call it tub water. So
we must call it tub water, but it's bathroom water for sure.
It's Lourdes for cats, people. It really is.
Even our old lady cat gets in the tub
to climb,
lick the tub dry.
Climb and struggle, and we'll occasionally give her a little boost, and then she'll jump in the tub.
Yeah.
And 20 of us let her come out with her head, you know, wet and looking
because,
smug.
You know, I licked that drippy faucet and I got it all out.
Yay.
Okay.
Cats are weird. What can you say?
Cats are weird. Anyway, you can visit Tom at our Facebook page or website. You can send your internet kitty or other pet to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, or you can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service. Go Postal Unions! Letter on the air unless you say otherwise. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, iced or hot, buy one for us. This is not charity. This is our job. Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution, and you can too. See our website, proleftpod.com, for details. We have PayPal, postal address information, GoFundMe, the Little Bertha fundraiser. We're at 675 out of 1066.
Yeah.
So we're getting there. But we want to reach that goal. And Middle Child is very, very grateful to all of you for your support. But all that information is there at proleftpod.com, including Patreon, where all options are available to you. Please share our show on social media, and thank you so much for doing that. Hey, Driftglass, how are the internet kitties doing this week?
Well, Blue Gal, the internet kitties are wondering if anyone will remember Bill Barr's grotesque behavior when President Hannity nominates him for AG in 2029.
Let's think about living.
Think about living.
Let's think about loving.
Think about loving.
Let's think about the hooping and the hopping and the bopping and the loving, lovey-dovey. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with the switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license, copyright 2018, DGBG Productions Incorporated.